Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Bass University. I am Pat Renwick, and we are at the 50th Bass Master Classic with the Dean of the Bass University, Pete Glusick.
Hey, everybody.
And Bassmaster Elite Series angler Shane Lineberg.
Veteran angler.
Veteran. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're back here with some, not so live, but feeling live, isn't it, Pete?
It is. Well, heck, there's people everywhere.
It's nuts. I have never seen this much excitement in one place for any event.
Right.
In bass fishing, I feel it in the air. In this 50th Bassmaster.
This is where it all started.
Yes. Yep.
This is where it all started, and everybody's here. Everybody in this area loves bass fishing.
It's the Mecca.
Oh, where I go, like 1 out of 10 people love it. Here, everybody loves it.
Yep. Know? And I'll tell you something. This is kind of what lit the fire for me. I was sitting in the stands in this arena behind us in 1998. When Dion Hibden beat Dalton Bobo by an ounce to win the classic.
Awesome.
You know, it kind of got it going for me. That kind of made my decision. That's when I decided that's what I want to do.
That was my first classic, so I was probably one of your heroes.
Absolutely. You still are.
Good answer, Shane. Good answer.
Of course, I wasn't beating anybody in that classic, but I was tickled to death to be there.
Happy to be there.
You don't want the dean to give you a failing grade.
No, absolutely not.
First classroom session.
I've never made an A in my life. I'm trying right now.
What part of the country are you from, Shane?
I live Lake Norman. North Carolina.
Oh, we know it well.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of guys from that area. One that in particular is leading the classic at this very moment. So,
who is leading the classic right now?
Last time I looked, Hank Cherry was still leading.
Ah, of course.
Hank.
Yeah.
Yep.
That Hank had that monster 29-pound bag on the first day of the classic.
He did. Dropped a big old sack on.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. I saw him fishing some riprap this morning before we came on. But I know coming from Lake Norman,
yep,
it is the dock fishing capital of the world.
Sure is.
Brian Thrift learned how to do it there.
I probably beat him while he was learning.
You take him when you can get him.
Yeah, that's right.
But after that, it was all dock.
You notice I said while he was learning.
Exactly.
But he stopped fishing docks from what I understand. He's offshore. He's using his Hummingbird 360 all the time.
Yeah, he still comes and fishes with us in the winter a little bit. But I haven't seen that guy near a dock in several years. He gets out there offshore where guys where we live, they don't fish. So he's fishing for untapped, fish. But I guess that's what he likes to do, so more power to him. He can have it.
Yes, because guys like me and you, we love to get dirty in the docks, get up shallow.
That's right.
Banging dock around. Knocking. I love fishing that way.
Knock all the paint off the trolling
motor.
Heck
yeah. You know it. Rub them rails.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to talk today about is dock fishing.
Cool.
Let's dive into your dock fishing strategy and what you think about it. Where do you want to get started?
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Seasonal patterns, largemouth, smallmouth.
We don't have any smallmouth, but we have a ton of spotted bass.
You're right. Yes,
and,
you do.
And just so happens on Lake Norman, they think they're largemouth.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, they get up there shallow, too, with the largemouth. We catch, a lot of spotted bass off docks. So.
Right.
So we can start wherever you'd like.
Well, let's start at the beginning. What about casting? Let's start there because that's got to be the hardest thing. A lot of guys get intimidated by that.
Can I back
How
up?
Do I do that?
Can I back up one moment? And I think that casting is so important, but I think it's number two.
Okay.
Number two?
Number two.
Okay. I got to hear this.
Well, it's all part. Let me rephrase this. I think, Shane, that maybe one and two go together. But the casting goes hand in hand with the boat positioning. So once you have the proper boat positioning, then the casting becomes essential.
You're right.
So, I mean, maybe, it's where do you put your boat first, and then how do you make that cast successful? You know what I mean? And maybe let's give a visualization here since we don't have it, but let's take a T-dock, okay? Just a standard dock that kind of comes out. It tees at the end in your deeper water, and then it goes back all the way up into the bank.
Right.
Approach that dock.
Me, personally, I'm going to start the shallowest part on the dock.
Okay.
I kind of vary my the way I fish, especially the jig, the way I fish the jig according to water temperature. Water temperature and wind are the two biggest factors. A lot of people don't realize that wind has an effect on dock fishing. Well, it does. It really does, especially when you're fishing ultra shallow, clear water. I mean, a lot of times I'm fishing less than a foot in that really clear water, and the really clear water scares a lot of people. Well, the fish, they're going to live there. You know, that's where they live.
They feel safe.
They feel safe there. Yeah. They can slide up under the dock. When they decide to eat, they pull out, you know, they'll get on the poles or whatever it may be, whatever's there. You know, that's what they're going to use. A lot of times, if the water temperature is above 60, especially in the springtime, I really like to swim my jig. I'll pitch it in there, and it'll never hit the bottom. I'm just constantly hopping it coming back. And this is why. Everybody thinks when you fish a jig, you're trying to mimic a crawdad. That's not true all the time.
Okay.
Especially on lakes like that, what you're going to mimic more than anything is a bream, bluegill, whatever you like to call it. Well, we all know they don't live on the bottom. So you got to get that jig up in the water column just a little bit, to where it mimics a bream, you know, trying to get away. And bass being the way they are, they're going to take that opportunity and get it.
Yeah.
No, that's just what they do.
Well, I found it interesting that you start at the back of the dock. Is that how you do it too, Pete? Do you always?
I'm interested too. Yeah. I do it differently on different docks, and of course, the fish have to tell you.
Yeah,
that's right.
A lot. You know,
that's why I said I start there.
Yeah, yeah, right. But that part where the dock comes to the bank is a lot of time an ignored part of the dock.
So you go all the way back. That's your MO.
Dude,
you're going to troll back there and work out.
Dude, I'll go back until my trolling motor sticks in the mud.
Okay,
And this is why. Like I said, in the springtime, the fish, when they're up there for two reasons. When they're that shallow, they're there, one, to eat, or two, to spawn.
Okay,
well, that fish that's that shallow is going to spawn on that first or second dock pole. You know, you may not be able to see him because he's tucked up in the shade. If he's up there spawning and that thing comes flying by, how many times have you seen a bass that's on the bed chase a bream off the bed?
A zillion.
There you go. That's the purpose of swimming the jig.
Gotcha.
That jig comes flying by there, and that bass just out of natural instinct comes out and gets it. And you catch a lot of fish doing that. And like I said, being on a clear lake environment like that, that pattern is heavily overlooked because everybody, oh, the water's clear, the water's
right.
clear. Well, sure, the water's clear. But that's kind of my, whether it's right or wrong, that's kind of my theory.
So don't be afraid to go up in that shallow, nasty, clear stuff.
That's right. Exactly right.
And so we're going to start investigating docks. Now, I think I know what you're going to say, but I want to hear how you do it. Right? We don't know where the fish are yet on a dock, so we've got to fish the whole dock.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how are you going to approach that from the shallow parts to the deeper parts? Are you changing baits, using the same stuff?
You know, when I do that, like I said, that the shallow part on the dock is my starting point, and the water temperature is what decides my starting point on the dock.
Yeah.
All right, if they're not up there shallow, I just kind of start working my way out. Well, as I'm working my way out, I'm also slowing the bait down. I try to keep the bait on the bottom because a lot of those fish – they're sitting there, they're staged. Let's just say that they're on the middle part to the end. They're staged on that end of the dock waiting to come up shallow to spawn. And by fishing it on the bottom, you know, it makes it an easier meal for them because they're just kind of, you know how they get in that mood where they're just like, well, here I am. I'm waiting for the right conditions for me to get up there and do my deal. Mm-hmm. So that jig comes dragging by them, and there again, out of instinct, they just eat it.
Hop on it.
And that's that's the tool, the swim jig.
That's the tool, not the swim jig. I use a 9/16 True South Custom Lures Fathead jig.
A heavy one.
Yeah.
9/16.
And here's the reason for the heavy. All right.
Wow.
How many times? How many times in the springtime do you see guys pull up there with a shaky head, and that thing just falls ever so slow, and the bass will turn off of it? When you flip that heavy jig in there, let's just say you flip it beside the pole. Well, that fish is sitting on the pole, and all of a sudden that thing comes, poof, flying by his head.
Yep.
Well, we all know what you get then. You get a reaction strike. Mm-hmm. And that heavy jig will give you that reaction strike throughout the day.
Absolutely.
And are you only applying it in seasonally as far as water temperature, or is it the heavy jig all the time if you're on that deal?
For me, if I'm fishing docks, that's the exclusive jig I throw.
That's what's tied on.
Yeah, that's what's tied on. I'm not that guy that gets hung up in quarter ounce, 3/8 ounce. Dude, you can take that 9/16. I swim it. I fish it on the bottom. You know, it's just that's my confidence lure, and that's what I go to.
Well, and you use the Alabama hammer technique. You said you shake it.
The shaker, yeah. the Alabama shake.
Because some guys just crank it.
Yeah.
You're shaking it.
I want it to look as real as possible, but also you want it to be moving fast enough where they can't get a really good look at it. You know, you don't want him to swim up behind it and study it. You want him, when he comes up there, he comes up and he gets it.
Right.
You know, that way there's none of this, golly, I had this 5-pounder follow it off his dock.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
It's all about speed. Speed's a killer.
Speed kills.
Yes. No doubt. So you use it for rate of descent as well as
retrieve. Yes, sir.
Do you use a high-speed reel?
I don't. I use a 7.3-1.
Fairly high speed.
I mean, it is, but I don't get into that, those 10-1s and all that stuff. I just, for me, especially dock fishing, when I get him on in the dock, I got to have enough power to get him out. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that the higher speed reels don't have enough power to move the fish.
Right. Well, that's so you're using that. Do you use a rod that allows you to cast better? I know I'm getting back into casting now, but you need a tip for this, right? It's got to be a little softer tip.
Well, no, not really.
You don't use that.
Not really.
He's going all left.
I fish. You know, I approach it a little bit differently. You know, you guys were talking about thrift earlier. He uses a little bitty rod. I tell him it's a midget rod. You know, he uses like a 6.9. I use a 7.6 heavy flipping stick. And there again, this is why. When you get the fish on in there, whether there may be brush under the dock or whatever's there, when I hit that fish, I want the power to be able to pull him out.
Right.
And using a rod that heavy, yes, it is 10 times harder to cast or skip the jig, whichever, you know, presentation you're using with that rod. But I don't ever have to worry about not having enough rod to be able to get the fish out.
Once you hook them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's key stuff. I know I error that way too. It's, you know, as a professional angler, it's about getting the fish in the boat.
That's right.
You know, so when you get that bite, you've got to be able to get them into the boat. And you do that with that heavy rod. Skipping that jig's got to be a hard deal.
This guy's built, Pete.
It really is.
How are you doing that? Tell me how to do that with that big rod.
It really is. It's difficult to learn to do. But when I started learning to do it, that's how I learned. Because I knew I didn't want to get, you know, let's use crankbaits for a minute. You know, when you're throwing a crankbait on a light rod, you're winding that thing along, and all of a sudden the fish loads up on it with a rod, bows around back to the handle. All right. Well, what are you doing? You're sitting there. You can hold him. That's all you can do. All right. Well, I knew going into this dock fishing deal that wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. Because if you hold a fish under a dock, he's going to wrap you around the poles.
Do something.
He's going to jack you up through the steps, whatever. You know, he's going to have a mess. Well, if I hit him, and when I hit him, I turn his head and get him coming to me, the fish is naturally, he's going to swim. It's like you or I. You walk whichever way you're looking. Mm-hmm. Well, the bass, if you get his head turned out of there coming to you, he's naturally going to swim to you. So that way, when you just get him coming, he'll come right out. I mean, you know, it's just you gotta think how a fish does sometimes.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
I watched one of the greatest dock fish catches of all time on the Elites. I think it was last year, down to St. John's. I can't remember who it was.
Lee Lives.
Yes.
Where he had that fish over the dock.
That was
used
awesome.
The back of his rod handle.
Yeah.
Grabbed the line, caught that fish. You got any fish catches like that?
Dude, I had one. I had one at that same tournament, but I had my GoPro on, and fortunately, I ran out of memory card and didn't realize it. But I had one very similar to that. I had this one dock, you know, down there the fish were pulling up to spawn, and I was fishing docks.
Yeah.
Well, I flip in there, I catch a 3-pounder, flip in there, catch a 4-pounder, and make 2 or 3 more casts.
Good Lord.
Nothing. Yeah. I told my marshal, I said, maybe he wants it from a different angle. So I go around the dock, and it's right where the walkway comes onto the dock. And I take and I flip under there, and when I flip under there, I pick up on it, and it's just going down. Well, I wind up and hit it. Well, when I hit it, I said, man, something's wrong. This fish is in there thrashing. It's like a 5.5-pounder. It's in there thrashing, going on. Well, when I finally get to look, there was an electrical wire under the dock. And when I pitched in there, my jig went over the wire. So my jig is over the wire, got a 5.5-pounder laying there looking.
Lord.
He's laying there looking at me like, what are we going to do now? Well, I couldn't reach. It was too far under the dock for me to reach. So I took another rod, stuck it in there, clicked the button on my reel, hooked the line, and pulled the line to me and hand-lined the fish in.
Good.
Nice.
Work. I mean, it would have been awesome if my GoPro would have been working.
That's ingenuity, too.
Yeah. I mean, you're sitting there with a really nice fish, you know, and the whole time all I can think about, this fish is going to come off. He's got to come off.
It never comes in.
No,
that
never.
Fish will never come in the boat. I don't know how you guys – what is about the St. John's? There was like something going on in the air that week. You guys were catching them when you shouldn't catch them.
God, man, that was such a fun week. That was by far my favorite trip to Florida I've ever had. It was a lot of
you
fun.
You caught them how you like to.
I did. I really did. And I wound up, I think I finished 20th or 21st in the tournament. Anytime you can do that, doing things you like, it's pretty awesome. I like it.
Yeah. Well, give us something that you haven't shared with anybody about your dock fishing technique. Some secret.
Dirt. We want the skinny.
Some
real
top
dirt.
Secret.
Well, there's nothing really top secret about it. The biggest thing that you have to do is when I go dock fishing, I'm committed to dock fishing. I say, all right, this is what I'm going to do, and there's only two changes you'll ever see me make dock fishing. One being the color of trailer I use. Two being the style trailer I use.
Okay.
My go-to is a Reaction Innovations Twerk. And if I change it, I kind of go a little bit crazy. Reaction Innovations makes a bait called a man bear pig.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that.
It's actually
kind of like a brush hog.
That's right. It's actually a flipping bait.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, a lot of times I'll take that. If they want a little more movement or something like that, a lot of times I'll use that for a jig trailer.
Really?
Yep.
And what was the first one you
twerk.
Said? What is that like?
It's like a
pork rind, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have seen it. Yes, yeah. I know exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
When you said this, you commit to the docks. One of the things that I wrestle with is going to the docks too early, and I know guys start fishing docks right at sunup.
Yep.
Like a lot of places I fish, I wait till the sun gets up. And then I go dock fishing. Mm-hmm. What's your experience with fishing them first thing in the morning?
There again, it depends on time of year.
Yeah.
In the South especially, we have a shad spawn.
Yep.
When the shad starts spawning, I'll start on the docks. Because a lot of shad will spawn
makes
on the
sense.
Dock
right.
on the dock floats.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, if you can... You've heard guys, man, I got well in like 15 minutes.
Yep.
Well, the shad were spawning. They pulled up on a stretch of docks mm-hmm. that the shad were spawning.
Yep.
And again, they caught them real quick off of them. Other than that, if I'm fishing docks, it's with a buzz bait first thing in the morning. And there, I do the same thing. I'll start up there in that foot of water throwing a buzz bait because you'll catch a lot of fish that's been up there from the night.
Yep.
You know, during the nighttime, they're up there feeding. Well, they're still there for about an hour, hour and a half before the sun gets up.
Right.
And I just throw a buzz bait around, and every now and again you'll get lucky and catch a big one doing that.
What's the best dock fishing lake that you fish?
Oh, man. Lake Norman, of course, is probably really good. My second favorite dock lake is right up the road here, Lake Logan Martin.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's fabulous. I've had some really good days out there fishing docks, and the spotted bass out here, they act a lot like the ones at Lake Norman. They're not afraid to get up there shallow.
And they're fun. They're fun. I have a really good finish on Logan Martin, top 10 in a Bassmaster fishing docks at Logan Martin. And it's awesome because when you get a 3-pound spot under a dock, you're in for a ride.
So you got to have that big heavy rod to get him out.
Hey, what line are you throwing? Did you say that already?
20-pound P-line.
Okay.
20-pound P-line fluorocarbon exclusively. Yeah. I don't ever go to 15. Guys say, well, that water's clear. Well, yeah, the water's clear. But there again, I'm fishing that jig so fast I could throw it on 50. You know, it doesn't. it doesn't matter.
Settle with 20.
Right. 20's really good all around. It's got a good strength. I really don't have to worry about them breaking me off with it. I mean, I've pulled them around poles and trees and everything else with it. So that's kind of what I stick to.
Nice.
Awesome. Shane, I appreciate it, man. We're going to be rooting for you out on tour this year.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Maybe they'll take us to a place somewhere we can go fish dock. That would be nice.
We'll be watching for you.
That would be nice if I didn't have to go dangle a drop shot or crank a crankbait offshore, They get me up there where I can do what I like to do. We'll be just fine.
Need another St. John's event.
Yeah.
The one thing I've found about fishing in the Bassmasters tournament is they rarely consult me.
Me either. Wonder why that is.
I don't know.
Maybe we could get Steve Bowman or somebody over here.
Yeah,
and
put a good word in for us.
We got to have another headset right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could just drill him. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I would like it. Bassmasters scheduled right over top of the Bass University this year. Still mad at them for that.
Yeah, the interrogation of Bowman. Yeah.
They kept and I want them to come up. No, I like the Delaware River. I think we ought to have 6 tournaments a year on the river.
No, come on, guys, let's do it.
No. Did you fish that one?
No, dude. Let me tell you something. I can't afford all the tolls up there to get to the water.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Why is it you go north and you get tolls?
I don't know.
You don't get tolls
but
down south.
I'm going to tell you what the bad thing is. We've had so many of you guys move to North Carolina, now all of a sudden we're getting tolls.
Sorry.
I'm filing a protest on that, but it's not working either.
Nothing's happening.
I know. Jeff Olson, the man behind the camera, he's moving down to South Carolina.
Yeah, so
he's coming your way.
See, he's learning.
Real soon.
All you guys will be down there before long.
Well, we're going to get more tolls. More tolls are coming. Shane, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Best of luck out
Thank
there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you guys for having me on here. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Give me a point out.
Guys, we will be right back with more Bass University TV.